murder, corruption, greed, betrayal, sex. The new fictional crime novel entitled Network of Killers by author D.B. Reynolds explodes with elements of excitement. To find out more about this explosive book, please visit the author's website at www.d-b-reynolds.com. Available in print edition and Amazon Kindle and Barnes & Noble Nook.
Welcome to Authors First on the Artist First World Radio Network, artistfirst.com. Tony Kay in the studio. Thanks for joining us, everyone, worldwide. Be sure to visit the website for upcoming guests, and be sure to tell everyone on your social network that Artist First programming is available free on demand in MP3 format for all your mobile devices. If you are an author, independent recorded artist, or just looking for exposure, we invite you to follow the links we have at artistfirst.com. This hour, it's my great privilege to welcome back Lenny Emanuele, author of At the Crossroads of Terror. You can learn more about Lenny and his fascinating book at www.LennyEmanuelli.net. Questions or comments, send them to DJ@artistfirst.com or directly to our guest, Lenny Emanuele. How do you do, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
Well, just thrilled to have you back again on the Artist First airways. You are a fascinating guest. Thank you for supporting the arts on Artist First Radio and for returning. How's it been going since you published your book? Have you found that this has opened new avenues? Tell our audience what you're up to these days.
Okay. Long story short. Well, maybe I'll make it longer. It went well. You know, the exposure that you guys gave me was phenomenal. I was able to sell. I know this sounds, I'm not bragging or anything, I'm just happy because I donated most of the money away to RAIN and to other avenues of organizations that help the hunger, sexually assaulted victims, et cetera, et cetera. Because I'm that kind of a guy. But I sold like over 5,000 books. Now for, a non-major publisher or self-published author, that's phenomenon.
Yes, it is.
You know, that's like, but the last year it's been very, I've been very busy with family issues, so I didn't have time to, I don't have that drive or that time to put into promoting the book like I did the first 2 years.
It is. It's very time consuming.
Correct. You have to constantly be at it.
And, of course, the World Wide Web is making that easier, and interviews like this make it possible for an audience to discover you for the first time. And you donated the profits, some of the money to RAIN, which is the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, because the book is a topic regarding what happened to your sister.
Not to my sister, but to somebody I knew.
To someone you knew.
Correct.
And I think that is so admirable. You earn your money elsewhere as a professional.
Yes. I tell you, I'm a wine consultant at the present. And
how nice.
Yeah, it is really nice. That opened up a lot of avenues. Just, you know, people love wine. They love wine. They love conversation. They love food. And that brings me to my next books that's going to be coming out, which is cookbooks.
No kidding. So in between promoting this book, you're actually did find time to write a cookbook.
Correct. I have three finished, and I'm just putting the final touches on them now. But they're still available at like a lulu.com, but I'm looking to get them published, you know, so it brings down the cost. They're called Enriching Your Kitchen. That's the name of the cookbook.
Oh, how nice.
And each one is Enriching Your Kitchen with Family Meals, and then it explains how to get the family together, you know, family that eats together, the kids do better in school, less drugs, less violence. It's an excellent book.
Now, were you able to incorporate your knowledge of wine with some of your recipes?
Correct, I did. Yes, and a lot of it is cooking with wine. You know, sometimes I even use it in the recipes, but yes, there's a lot of information about wine, about spices, about family meals in that book, about how to stock your pantry, how to get the kids involved, to get the family meal, to create a pleasant experience, not to bring up, you know, bad issues at the table where the kids don't want to come to, you know, sit down with the family. They want to be alone.
It sounds like a little bit of old world philosophy coming through.
Correct. That's how I grew up, you know, old world. So that one is family meals, and that's what I incorporated. There's a lot of easy meals in there. There's some intricate meals for advanced cooks. But there's always, I have a website I just put together, enrichingyourkitchen.com, which will help. You can send in questions. How do I do this? How do I do that? How do I julienne peppers, or, you know, all kinds of good information. What kind of wine goes with the, you know, Gouda cheese and stuff like that.
Now, Lenny, are these books currently available from your website, or will you have a separate website devoted to that topic?
I have a separate website devoted to that topic that's called enrichingyourkitchen.com. And I'll say, you know, it's enriching is spelled E-N-R-I-C-H-I-N, yourkitchen.com.
And it presently consists of three different books, and you said there's a fourth?
There's three.
There's three.
Yes. There's Enriching Your Kitchen with Family Meals. There's Enriching Your Kitchen with Holiday Meals. There's Enriching Your Kitchen with an Italian Cuisine, which, you know, that was my, you know, background. And then there's a fourth one that's going to be Enriching Your Kitchen, Cooking with Friends.
What fun.
Yes, it really is fun. So that, the wine consultant, you know, brought this about. You know, people were asking me, oh, what kind of wine? How do I cook this? How do I cook that? And next thing you know, it just came about.
Was your wife happy to surrender the kitchen to you?
Oh, she's like, unbelievable. She's like, oh, man. She says, stop cooking. I'm gaining weight. Everything you cook, I'm gaining weight. You know, because I cook it from soup to nuts, you know, with dessert and all. You know, everything's from scratch, you know.
Were you able, Lenny, to maybe go back to some of those family recipes that your parents had, or maybe some of your other relatives for family reunions use, or were you really just content on your own creative recipes?
Well, I went back, you know, Italian people are, you ever see, Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, of course.
I hate to say that, but the Italians are like that. They don't like to share recipes. So when the older generation dies off, nobody knows the recipes. So I experimented. It took me like 30 years, really, seriously, to make this one Easter bread that my grandmother used to make. 30 years. You know what that's like? To figure out, oh, too much salt, too much pepper, too much, you know, not enough yeast, whatever.
You threw a lot away.
Yeah, right. But now it's perfected, and it's in the book. So it's so unbelievable. But, yeah, so most of it is probably not exactly like the family recipes, but pretty close.
Now, if I remember correctly, you're currently living in Texas?
Yes, I'm living in North Dallas.
And do you travel back east?
I do. The last time I was back to New York was during that Hurricane Irene or Arlene or something. Hurricane going on. It was so unbelievable. It took me like 4 days to get back.
I mean, the streets are flooding, you know, electric's out. Right.
Right. The airlines closed, you know. It was tough. Then I finally get a flight out, and then I'm stuck in Philadelphia. I don't know what, you know, it took me like 4 days to get home. It was really a nightmare. But, yes, I do get a chance to go home. My middle daughter lives in New York on Long Island, Hicksville, Long Island. My oldest daughter lives in Florida. And I just purchased a house down in Florida. That's where I'm going to probably retire.
How nice. That's great.
Most New Yorkers go down to Florida, you know.
A snowbird.
Yeah.
Well, and you'll find a lot of people from Ohio there, too.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I figured they'd come down through Texas. I don't know.
No, they go to Florida. There's a straight shot, you know, south from Ohio,
right.
From Ohio to Florida. Boom, there they are. My wife and I were in Florida visiting relatives, that, you know, and it's just so funny, you know, you meet, oh, yeah, we're from Cleveland. Yeah, we're from Cincinnati. It's like, is anyone here native Floridian? No.
Probably not. At what part did your family go down?
Cocoa Beach.
Cocoa Beach. Yeah, well, I purchased on the West Coast. Tampa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have relatives, Marco Island also.
Oh, that's nice. Very nice.
Yes. So you're right. I mean, you're at that season of life that really writing is an enjoyment. It's an avocation. It's something that you savor, that you look forward to.
Yes, I do. And I was able to, you know, I sponsored a family this holiday, you know, a needy family in Allen, Texas. For Christmas. I mean, they're poor, they couldn't give gifts to the children, and I was able, with the funds I raised from both books, I was able to help this family have an enjoyable Christmas.
Oh, that's what a blessing.
I'm like Santa Claus here.
Yeah, I mean, it's what better way to live? You know, you've had all of the blessings of life, good health, a wonderful relationship, beautiful children, a career that you love, that you fell into. Now I'm thinking back to when we spoke the first time, but I thought that there was a Chase connection or a computer connection there.
Yes. My original occupation was a musician from 1968.
Oh, that's right. Songwriter. Yes.
86. Correct. I worked with groups like King Harvest, Zachariah, Ichabod Crane. You know, I grew up with people like Billy Joel. He really phenomenal guy. He's like really superstar, you know. And it was a good life. I did a lot of studio work, did a lot of writing.
And then a buddy of yours said, hey, you got to get involved in these computers. Isn't that right?
Yeah, correct. And I said, well, how am I going to make a living? So I learned a little bit, and I got working at Chase. You know, they gave me that offer, and I was there till 2005.
Wow, and now it's wine.
Right, now it's wine.
So what
now
fun.
Now it's the end of my career, but I'm really happy I saved enough money. I'm fortunate enough that the economy didn't affect my family like it affected a lot of people. You know, that is, it's a shame how the economy
it really is.
So.
Well, thank you for giving back, Lenny Emanuel. Thank you for being our guest on Authors First. Tony K in the studio. Questions, comments, send them to Lenny Emanuele. He's a great guy. Wonderful website, LennyEmanuele.net. And, of course, you can purchase the book from the location, and coming soon will be the link for the cookbook. So, audience, keep your eyes and ears open for that. When do you expect to have those volumes prepared for purchase?
Well, I'm hoping that the first one will be the holiday meals around Christmas time. I mean, it takes that much to really make sure everything's correct.
Christmas of 2012.
Of 2012. You know, well, November. You know, like the holiday season, like Thanksgiving, Christmas. And that makes a great gift. It'll come in three different styles. It'll be a soft cover, black and white, which will be the least expensive. Then it'll be a soft cover color, which will be a little more because the paper quality and the printing is a different printer. And then there'll be, I guess, a collector's item, a hardcover color.
How nice. Very professional. And, you know, I like having variety with your literature. And a cookbook, you know, those tend to get used.
Oh, yeah, they do. I have a couple of samples, like prototypes, in my wine department, you know, where I'm the wine consultant. And people are in there all the time, and they're saying, oh, I want to buy it. I want to buy it. And you know what I tell them? Just take that one. I got another one. I can get another one. And I just give it to them. And they're like, they said, that's the greatest thing anybody ever did for me. I said, I hope not. I hope that ain't the best thing anybody ever did for you.
Well, food, family, it all goes together so beautifully, and including the intimate moments that you're having with you and your wife.
Yes.
And you've incorporated some of those smaller recipes, I hope?
Yes. Yep.
You know, I mean, it's very common, right? I mean, there's just the two of us now. My wife and I have five children, six grandchildren, and a lot of times we're just, you know, it's just us. And the temptation is, well, let's just eat out then.
No, that's the issue with a lot of people here. They go out to eat, and there's a lot of restaurants, but what happens is they like one restaurant, they don't like another. People figure they'll open up a restaurant, and then they go out of business. Everybody says, oh, open up a restaurant. You know how many dishes you got to sell just to pay the rent? Wow. I mean, I don't know, you know. I'd rather do this, you know.
But you're looking at recipes for 2, 4, 6, right?
I mean,
you can scale it down, right? And I think that's so important today to make the smaller portions, not feel like you have a lot of leftovers at the end of the deal, at the end of the meal.
Right, you're right.
And then the wines. Any favorites you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I have a lot of things.
That's a long list.
I was invited to, I guess, the Irving Convention Center 2 weeks ago to pour wine for Louis Martini, the winemaker. We met I don't even know where we met, but he came and he says, I want you to come and bring your cookbook and come down and pour wine with me. Next thing you know, I'm there. I'm not even pouring wine. We're drinking wine. He's got other guys pouring.
What fun.
And let me tell you, he shared a bottle of wine with me that was, wow, I'm sure I couldn't afford it. Or, you know, it was called Lot 1. I don't even know what it is, if it's out. Louis Martini Lot 1 Cab. It's unbelievable. But my favorite, and it, a cost-effective wine, is 14 Hands Cabernet. 14 Hands Merlot. I'm more into reds, but if you like white, there's plenty of beautiful whites out there.
I like the reds too. They're supposed to be healthier, aren't they, for the blood and so forth? The red wines,
they are.
Loaded with antioxidants, and I think those that are health conscious, it's okay to have a glass or two of a quality red wine with your meal.
They don't tell you that grape juice will do the same, but you know, right. You know, you can drink cranberry juice and grape juice be the same, but it's not, doesn't savor your meal like a nice good bottle of wine.
And that's where the Europeans have it all over us. I mean, you know, they've been drinking wine for 1,000 years and really know that, hey, I can have wine with a sweet pastry. I can have a wine with a bitter, or this wine is better with pork or better with steak.
Correct.
What about cooking with wine? Do you get involved with that little bit?
Yes, I do. I cook a lot with wine. I use a lot of whites with my, like, linguine and clam sauce, or my chicken soup, or my chicken. I use a lot of white wine. I use a Chardonnay. I use a Riesling. You know, Rieslings are really good because it has that citrusy flavor. So you can make a lot of good seafood with that.
I'm hungry. What's for dinner?
Yeah. Oh, tonight we're having pasta for some reason. Usually we have pasta on Sunday, but we all had to work late hours. So.
Well, pasta, now that covers a lot of noodles.
Yeah, well, probably spaghetti with, you know, meatballs and sausage and salad. And let's see, what wine do I have tonight? I have a nice... what wine do I have down here that I brought home to open? Oh, yeah, Louis Martini Cabernet.
All right. Now, your sauce, with chicken, without chicken, there's the question.
No chicken in my pasta sauce. Not in my Sunday sauce. I call it Sunday sauce, my pasta gravy. No, I put meatballs, which is beef, and pork. I don't use veal because of the way they mistreat the animal. I'm very funny like that. I don't use any chicken in my spaghetti sauce. That would be chicken fricassee or chicken cacciatore. This is just meatballs. I use pork, ribs, beef ribs, a few beef ribs, and pork sausage, Italian hot and Italian mild. And there's my spaghetti sauce.
Seasoning, salt, sugar, pepper?
Yeah, I use, of course I use, something that I call Papa's seasoning, which is a combination of oregano, basil, paprika, garlic powder, onion powder, salt, pepper, and red pepper flakes. And I mix it all up. The recipe, it's posted on enrichingthekitchen.com. It's 3-1. And I put that in my meatballs and that in my sauce. And I also use garlic and onion, of course, you know. And then instead of sugar, I grate a whole carrot to sweeten up the sauce.
Very nice.
Yeah, the carrot really makes it different, makes it good. You don't even see the carrot or taste the carrot. It just, because if you grate it very thin, and it disappears into the sauce, and it gives it a sweetness. You know, you get rid of that acidity.
Right.
You know, yeah.
And
of course, parsley and...
Any ground pepper?
Yeah, a little ground pepper, yes.
Now, you're going to, in these three cookbooks you're releasing in the fall of 2012... one of them is dedicated to the gravy, to sauces, correct?
Yeah, to my Italian heritage, correct.
Right. Now, and in that, of course, you're going to have different noodles.
Yes, even homemade noodles.
And homemade noodles.
How to make homemade pasta.
Egg noodles, too?
I don't use egg noodles. I didn't put egg noodles in the... I use egg noodles.
That's more of a German than Italian.
I do use that with you know, when I'm making chicken cacciatore. I put it over a little egg noodles. You know, I do, but I don't have that in a cookbook. It says use your favorite noodle. You know, could be spaghetti, could be linguine, could be fettuccine, but I use the egg noodles. I like the egg noodles with the chicken cacciatore sauce. It's really nice.
Lenny, we have a large Amish community here in Northeast Ohio.
You do?
Yes.
Wow.
They own thousands of acres and have communities Mennonite and Amish, and of course that is the German side. The Dutch, Pennsylvania Dutch, and so the noodles, the potatoes, you know, it's a different flair of food than the Italian side.
Right. A little less spicier.
Yeah, bland. Right. Mm-hmm. Bland. And a lot of pork.
A lot of pork. Gotcha. Like brats and stuff like that, right?
Right. So you're using beef, though, in your recipes, correct?
Yes, correct.
So
I use pork as well.
Spools with spinach?
Spools of spinach?
Spinach and cheese in your strip of steak, and you twist it together.
Wow.
Have you seen that one? In your
not really, but I'm sure it's good.
Well, I mean,
I'm
just referring back to something that my grandmother would have made.
Wow, and that's in your German heritage.
No, Italian.
That's Italian?
Yes, and they would take the beef in thin strips, and then they would beat it and make it tender.
No.
And then they would roll in a mixture of cheese with like Parmesan cheese, I believe it is, spinach, and then twist that all together, and then put that in a pan with the sauce, with the spaghetti sauce, and
Never had that.
Yeah.
Are you from? You're not Sicilian, right? You're probably from Northern Italy. Somewhere.
Northern Italy, that's correct.
Ah, that's why. Yeah. See, you know, Italy is divided into three. I'd say Northern, Central, and Southern. And Italy, they cook according to, because years ago they didn't have truckers or, you know, well, I'm talking hundreds of years ago. They didn't have trains, so they only ate whatever was available to them.
Yeah, what was grown locally.
Yeah, right. That's why a lot of Sicilians eat a lot of fish. You know, I guess a lot of times eat fish, but Sicilians more. And they eat a lot of lamb.
And go back to fish, salted fish.
Yeah. They had nowhere, you know, they had
no refrigeration, so
right.
You dry it, you salt it, and then it's stored, and then you take the fish and you put it in water.
And you make bacala.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So you're from Northern Italy. Oh, see that? Yeah. We used to have a dish called, which is in my cookbook, arancini. Arancini is like a rice croquet, and inside is meat. You know, it's a fried rice ball, you know, breaded.
Meat that's cubed?
No, meat like ground beef.
Okay.
Ground beef with a little garlic and onion and sautéed. And they, you know, and then they put that in the center of your rice. And then you roll the rice in egg or flour egg, then, you know, the egg wash. And then the breadcrumbs, and then you deep fry it. And that thing is like heaven. Let me tell you, arancini. Or you could just use just cheese in the middle of it. Melted cheese, because after you fry it, it's melted cheese. And everybody in Sicily knows somebody who makes the best arancini. And then in New York, everybody knows who makes the best meatball. I don't know. You know?
And they're big meatballs.
Yeah. So...
Okay, LennyEmanuele.net, audience. I know you're hungry. I'm getting hungry just listening to the conversation. What was the best part of putting together the cookbooks for you, Lenny?
The best part was making sure everything worked. So in other words, I put, like, my own recipes, I would make sure I cook it, take pictures, eat it, you know, make sure it tasted good. If it tasted fair, I'd rework it. So eating was the best part of it.
Yeah. Did you have any critics over for dinner?
Oh, yeah, I did. I had plenty of critics. You know, and even I have a Facebook page. And a lot of times I just make a pulled pork sandwich, you know, in the slow cooker. And I showed them how to do it, how to season it, wrap it in saran wrap. Put it in the refrigerator overnight, Then the next day, take it out, put it in the crock pot, put a little couple of onions on top, seasonings already there, put it on low. And then when you come home, it's like melted apart. It's so unbelievable. And I had that on Facebook, and people were like, oh, my God. Stop doing this to me.
What fun.
Yeah, right. I take rice. If I made like a special, you know, like a masala sauce, and I make a masala mushroom sauce for pork, for a loin pork chop. And so I take a little ramekin. I put that over rice. So I stuff the rice in there and turn it upside down in a plate. So it looks like you have a little design of rice, like a house of rice. And then the pork chop lays next to it. And then the spinach drizzles over it. And then the mushrooms. And then it looks like professional, you know, looks like a professional meal.
No interest in becoming a professional chef now.
No.
Okay, so I'm not going to find you in the next 4-star restaurant cooking.
No, I don't. You know what? I love it, and I love cooking, but I think that's very hard. You know, very hard job.
What about making the meal appealing, appetizing, the aesthetics,
that's
the look?
That's what I try to do. When I make a salad, I make it look edible, like you want to eat it. You don't want to just, yeah, that's a salad. You know, no, that's a good salad.
It looks so beautiful, I don't want to eat it right now. I just want to look at it.
Right.
A little taste.
Most cookbooks out there, they have phony food that they, you know, use paint or whatever, the ceramic, and they paint it on and make it look juicy, and they take pictures of that to put in a cookbook. I use real food. I wanted to make it look real as much as I could. You know?
Do you like fresh herbs then, like the oregano and the basil and the parsley? You like fresh or?
I grow that in the backyard, of course. You know, I have them in flower pots. I have basil, parsley, oregano. And then every winter I take the last of it off and we freeze it. And of course it doesn't last all winter. So I have to buy, store-bought stuff. But yes, I buy their fresh stuff.
Lenny, are you heavy on the garlic or light?
Well, that depends what I'm cooking. If I'm cooking, like, I don't know if I guess you're Italian, so you know aglio olio, garlic and oil over spaghetti. Everything I do is like 8 cloves of garlic, when you do that. You're making linguine and clam sauce, 8 cloves of garlic. But in my pasta sauce, I only use 3. I don't know if that's heavy, but
I thought every home, I believe that every home smelled like garlic when I grew up. My mother is the youngest of 11 children and 2 girls, 9 boys. So we'd go to their homes and it was just the garlic city. I mean, everybody smelled like garlic all the time. You know?
I must be immune to it because, my neighbors come in, they go, oh, I can smell you cooking again. What do you mean you smell I'm cooking again? I smell the garlic. I said, garlic? You've got to be kidding me. I was very easy on the garlic. I guess I'm heavy on the garlic. I don't know.
Oh, that's great. That's what they called Italians garlic breath. What are you going to do? And it's healthy. It's good for you. Garlic is the best. I mean, come on. Who was it? Larry King had the garlic pill and everything. I mean, there's all types of health benefits to garlic and good quality food, and that's what you enjoy. And thank you for using your heritage, your background, your love of fine dining, wine, food, bringing it all together. What a great compliment for all of us. So, Lenny Emanuele, thank you for sharing this new passion. Well, I guess it's not a new passion. It's something you've always enjoyed, but reliving it and creating these recipes, testing them, and making sure they're up to your satisfaction, it's been a great joy.
You're welcome. Yes, it's been a great joy to me.
And now I'm hungry. I'd like to have you prepare something and, of course, a glass of wine to go with it.
Uh-huh. Yes. Me too. I'm starving.
Well, this authorship too. Do you think at some point you'll go back to spending more time traveling, speaking, promoting your book?
Uh, at the Crossroads of Terror.
Or maybe next year?
Everything, yes. I'm planning on going back to it. I was just so... We had, like I said, we had like three major family issues. And then, you know, I got hung up on this cookbook. So I made like a little U-turn, you know. But yes, I told my wife and we discussed it that we're going to start promoting the book. And, you know, because I think it does good. You know, people are on to broaden people's minds on what kind of crime goes on in America, you know, and how maybe we can help it, you know.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And it's getting worse, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
I interviewed a social worker prior to this interview and was describing an event that happened. My wife and I went to a hotel unnamed that had a swimming pool, and that was a huge mistake. Children unattended, running, screaming, jumping over complete strangers' heads, splashing in the pool. And it just, oh my. And I told her, well, my five children, six grandchildren, none of them would behave like this. I mean, just a look and they know.
That's your heritage.
I would wish that if you're going to have children, you'd please parent them, okay? It takes effort, but it's worth it in the end.
And then they get out of control later on in life. They think it's okay since nobody stopped them.
Right, and that's a big problem. The Crossroads of Terror, you were on Artist First Radio. We discussed it in great detail. You have that link in that interview available on your website, LennyEmanuele.net. I didn't take the chance to look at it, but I believe you spoke to Scott, and I know that hundreds of thousands have listened to that show, and it's always available at your website. And now you'll have a complimentary interview to put there for your upcoming release of your cookbook. So thank you for supporting the arts, for sharing your life, your background experience, and for writing such fabulous material. Do you find that it's that the best time for you to write is in the evening, since you're so busy with your other avenues of involvement?
It's easy to write when I'm relaxed.
Yeah.
Right? When you're relaxed, you can let your mind go and explore new things and put it down on paper.
And your wife, she doesn't mind?
She doesn't mind, no.
Has
she,
her own things to occupy herself with?
Yes, she does. She does. She's a Facebook alcoholic, or whatever you want to call it. Facebook-holic. She's always on Facebook when she comes home. That's because our children are so far away.
Right.
I don't know where your children are. From where you, are they still in your vicinity?
Yes, they are. They're in our backyard, and I plan on moving.
Oh, yeah, because like I said, my oldest is in Florida. Last time we seen her was 2010. That's like 2 years ago. And the middle one is in New York. We just saw her last August. I guess that's when Irene was there, like August or September, you know.
And grandchildren now?
I have one grandchild who's just turned one in December.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And one on the way, July. Yeah, I was going to say January. July 29th. That's the due date, but, you know.
So, who knows? There may be some children's book coming yet.
Yes, correct.
Well, that's very exciting for you and your family, and thank you for sharing all of this great background information and putting it together in a way that's enjoyable for our readers, our listeners, and audience. You won't be disappointed. Please visit the website, LennyEmanuele.net. For your convenience, we have it placed at artistfirst.com. Tony Kay in the studio. Questions or comments, just contact Lenny. He'll fill you in. And, of course, social networking is a great way to meet new people. Do you think you'll add Twitter to your list?
I was thinking of that.
I think you have it. I think you have. Is that
I have it there?
I think I see Twitter.
I don't really use it much.
Yeah, I mean, it's more writing.
Yeah.
You know, that's
I
the,
might, yeah.
That's the thing about all the social networking. It takes time, you know, to respond to all of the information that's there, but so useful to meet new people.
Oh, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I use LinkedIn. LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Network that, yes. I have about 1,000 in the network.
I think you sent me an invitation that I denied because it would just go on into infinity if
yeah,
I
so
said
that's
yes
what
to
happens,
everybody.
Yeah.
I just can't do it, folks. 4 million listeners a month at Artist First Radio. We keep adding new weekly shows every month. And, of course, famous personalities supporting the arts coming on our broadcasts have made us very busy here at Artist First Radio. Something new all the time on our network. So you have to visit frequently to see what's coming up next. You might enjoy, Lenny, the Crime Beat show.
Yes, I saw that, and I'm going to listen in on that one.
They do a great job. They really do. And what I love about all of the shows, you don't have to be there at 7, 8 o'clock at night to listen. You can just click when you're ready and listen on demand.
I just heard the advertisement prior this interview about the crime show.
Oh, yeah. It's fabulous. Ron Chipsick and Will Harib are accomplished authors. They've written 20, 30 books each and have been on national broadcasts, A&E, crime broadcasts, and so forth. They're investigative journalists, and they do a tremendous job with their broadcast. So we're just very excited to have shows like that, that are quality, that to offer the public. And then, of course, we have the musicians, the artist. John Anderson came on, the vocalist for the band Yes.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that on your website.
And we were fortunate to have Davy Jones on Artist First Radio before
Shame.
He passed away. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that, too. I saw Davy Jones, and next thing you know, it was a shock when I heard him.
I know
we're all eventually end up there, but it was a shock to
it
me.
Was really it is so young. Otis Williams came on, the last surviving member of the legendary supergroup The Temptations. So we're fortunate at Artist First Radio to have so many good-hearted, generous people that are out there prepared to share their life story, inspire others. And we can make all of those broadcasts available free on demand. So it's just something new all the time at Artist First Radio. And Lenny, it's because of the quality of the guests that we have, the listeners. So thank you for being so diligent and perseverance and putting your books together. And you're getting acknowledged. Like you said, you were able to sell thousands of books and able to re-gift those funds elsewhere to bless other people. So, I hear that from our authors. Many of them will say, hey, I'm going to take a percentage of the profits and re-gift them into other causes that I believe in. I think that is admirable and a great way to do it.
Yeah.
And the self-publishing business is working out good because authors are doing all the work themselves.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. At the Crossroads of Terra, I bet is in about 400 or 500 libraries, at least across the country.
Wow.
Yeah, because, Baker & Taylor, who supplies the books for the libraries, they've been a steady flow of orders coming in. So even though I haven't been out there promoting the book, I've been sending it to Baker & Taylor, who sends it to libraries, which is pretty awesome. You know, you can go into a library and see my book in there. I did, I was at the Writers Guild show, and they couldn't believe it. They said, how did you do all that? I said, I don't know. I was just lucky. I don't know how.
You mean you're just work hard?
Maybe
99% perspiration, 2%, 1% inspiration. I know. It's a lot of work, Lenny.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now, this book series, the cookbook's coming out in the fall of 2012. Do you think you and your wife will be prepared to relocate in 2013? Or you haven't gone that far yet?
I believe we are relocating. Since we just purchased a house in Florida, that's our goal. By next June, we'll be in Florida.
And then you're going to come back on Artist First Radio.
Oh, of course. For sure I'm going to do that.
Thank you. Come bring us up to speed about your new home, your new environment, and the new projects I'm sure you'll be working on.
Mm-hmm.
Lenny, are you using the technology, the computers, programs and so forth to document your materials, to organize your materials, or are you doing it the old-fashioned way and using pen and pad most of the time?
Well, I use Microsoft Word, which they say is antiquated or old.
But you understand that the language. You know how to use the Microsoft Word, and that's where you're organizing most of your materials.
Correct. That's how I organized it, and it's very tough, especially with a cookbook. You know, it's very limited. You should be using something like Corel or something, which I don't, you know. I use Microsoft, and then I transfer to PDF. And then PDF sometimes I get, so I use technology, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, you know.
Oh, Lenny, I forgot. I know what I wanted to ask. Desserts.
What about it?
Are you devoting a book, a volume to desserts?
There's all the dessert section in every book, but I never thought about that. I was thinking of just going enriching your kitchen, and then picking out Tex-Mex or picking out Chinese, because I make an awesome Chinese dinner. I make homemade, I call them ravioli. They have a wonton. You know, I make homemade wonton.
Oh, yeah.
Wonton soup. I make an awesome Chinese dinner from soup to dessert, you know.
So you're going to have a little bit of everything then. What about chili? Any Texas flair?
Yeah, I have three excellent chilies. One's a crock pot chili, you know, it just cooks all day. Sometimes if you're just using a stove top, your pot on the stove, then I'll use ground beef. But if I use a crock pot, I'll cut some cube steak up, and because that becomes so tender and falls apart, the chili is awesome. And then there's a hot sauce I put in there, which is not hot, it's just good flavor. It's called tiger sauce. I put the whole jar in there, and that's awesome sauce. You know, awesome hot sauce or whatever to the chili. It's unbelievable.
Any breads or sandwich fare?
I make breads. I make Italian bread. I make white bread. I make buttery rolls. I make Italian Easter bread. That's the one that took me 30 years to figure out. Italian Easter bread, oh my God. God, is that hot? Spinges, what do you call those? Not spinges, they're knots or something. Oh, bow ties. You know.
Oh, my wife loves those. That's her favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. I make
what
that
fun
at the holiday time. Yes.
What fun.
I'm thinking of, that's a good idea. I never thought about it, but now I am. Desserts, you know. Rich in the kitchen with family desserts.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate the way that you've are dedicated to multiple volumes. I think that makes an excellent compliment for anyone's kitchen library.
Yes, it certainly does.
And in the beginning of the book, of the cookbook, will you give a little bit of a picture of yourself or a little bit of your family background or what's inspired you? Or will you talk about your wife and how she survived the taste tests? Have you thought about how you'll introduce the recipes?
Yes, the Italian is definitely going back to my family. My family heritage, my wife's family, her heritage, and how we both combined them, and we come up with this book. I even have how to make wine in the book, in the beginning of the book, because my grandfather made wine, and my poor grandmother cooked from the time she got up to the time she went to bed, she was cooking something. Spaghetti's something was going on.
Well, and everything was canned, and, you know.
And then they canned it, put it right in the basement, right. Right. She was always working. My grandfather grew everything that they ate. You know, very rarely did they go to the store to get it.
And you know, the idea was there'll always be enough here for everyone that we love, our family, our children, our grandchildren. No one will go hungry.
Right.
And I think some of the depression, I think, framed that philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And influenced families to want to preserve and store up and make sure that if a crisis occurred, the family would be protected.
How about you and your house?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
My pantry's full with dry goods and stuff that, you know, just in case, you know. Because I don't like to say I'm going to make something, go to the pantry, oh, I got to go to the store. You know, that's what I do when I have to fix something. Oh, I got to fix this. Oh, I need this tool. I need that wrench. I need this screw or whatever. I have to always go to the store to get it.
I believe I mentioned that my children are nearby, so whenever they come over, they always leave with food.
Yes, that's very good.
Well, Lenny, thank you for joining us. It's been a fascinating hour. Thank you for bringing us up to speed about your beautiful family. Congratulations on your grandchild and another one soon to come. What a wonderful time for you and your family. And we look forward to having you back when you get settled in Florida to bring us up to speed with your new life there. And, of course, your cookbook. And be sure to send us the links for the cookbook when they're released so that we can add that to your archive page, okay?
Thank you. I will.
Thank you. Any closing remarks or shout-outs, anyone out there on planet Earth you'd like to say hello to before I let you go?
I'd like to say hello to my wife, my bride of 38 years, Camille. I don't know if she's listening right now, but I just want to say it's been a journey, and I love it, and I love her very much.